What is up, everyone? Thanks for joining us for episode 104 of the Gamecast. I am one of your hosts, Kenny, and with me is Tess.
Hello, everybody.
And we are back after a short hiatus, just to fill you in on some of the stuff we've been doing, one of which was rewatching Akira. I watched it not too long ago. I wanted to see if it stood up to the test of time. I haven't seen it in years. And it does.
It does.
The animation is still great. Yeah. It's still awesome. I think the story for me now is a little more convoluted than it was when I first watched it. I think I was more enamored by everything to kind of sit down and be like, what is actually happening in the story?
Right.
It's not a bad story, mind you. Right. It's not a bad, like, overall, it's not a bad story. It's very artistically done. But over the, you know, since that came out to now, it's like we kind of seen these stories done multiple times. And some of them have been a little bit better in terms of the viewer understanding what's happening. And so in that aspect, it, you know, it might be a little rough. But overall, though, the film is great. Like, I was looking at the animation and the detail that they put in and some of the things that they were doing with line work. And I was like, wow, like years later, this still looks good.
Yeah.
Which makes me feel a way about some of these other animated films that look kind of rough, you know, years later.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was solid. I had a good time. Actually, I had purchased it. They did the anniversary edition of it not too long ago. And I got made sure I had it. That along with like Cowboy Bebop and a couple other classic anime that I wanted to have. And so I was like, you know, let me rewatch it. Cause I bought it off the strength of knowing what it was.
Yeah.
And so I was like, let me rewatch, you know, with my, you know, adult eyes. And yeah, this is pretty great.
Yeah.
But beyond that, I've been rather busy, which is good in a way. With, you know, having work, that's never a bad thing. it can be a little stressful, and I can't say exactly why, but I can kind of paint you a little picture. So I pitched a couple of stories, a couple of reviews of different things, and one of the reviews or one of the stories was of a show that's coming out on Netflix, right? And the show kept getting pushed back. It was like, you know, it's going to come out this year, it's come out this year, didn't. But I'm still accepted for it. Like, I once it comes out, I'll be able to, you know, write for it or write about it. And so in that time, I'm not waiting. I'm like, well, yeah, I'll pick up this show, this show, this show, this film, whatever. And so this month, I was like, I had a couple of pitches that went and were successful. So I have those to write about. And then my editor hit me up and was like, hey, what about this big show? And I was like, yes, I really want to review that and didn't get a time to pitch it. So I'm going to review, you know, I'm going to go ahead and do that one as well. So I fit that in. But the way I did it, I was like, I spaced everything out so my brain could be okay, you know, because there's a lot of stuff happening this month. And I was looking on Twitter and there's a website that's like, that talks about stuff that's coming to Netflix, though. It's next on Netflix or something like that.
Okay.
And they're very accurate, like really, really good with this stuff. And they're like, the show that I'm going to be covering is going to be dropping on July 1st, which means that in order to write about it, I would need to get the screener now. So one of the biggest shows that's getting ready to drop, because Netflix hasn't announced it yet. They haven't announced the date officially yet, right? And so I'm probably not even going to get a screener until the official date, because when I go to ask for it, it usually is like, hey, I know this is coming out soon. Can I have this, you know, the screener prior to this release date? But if they haven't announced it, it's like, oh, how do you know that it's kind of, because that's happened to me before where they're like, I'm like, can I get the screener for this film? They're like, oh, that, see, that was a little mix up. That's actually not coming out till next year. So you're good. And I'm like, oh, okay. And so I have to wait, which means I get closer to the day to when it's dropping before I can actually write about it. Mind you, I have reviews that I'm writing about or writing now for shows that I'm covering. And so I'm like, I literally saw the tweet and I was like,
yeah.
I was like, oh no. Oh man. So it's a good thing in the sense that I will be getting paid for all of this, but it's like, I tend to space things out because of all the other responsibilities that I have, including this show, that I'm able to do it in a timely fashion so that my brain is okay. And, you know, because it's easy to get burnt out. I've done this for a long time. It's very easy to get burnt out on everything. Mm-hmm. I cover too much crap for it to do that. And so that was a little disheartening. But beyond that, it's been pretty good. pretty solid.
That's good.
But you, what have you been up to?
Nothing.
I know.
I know. I'm up to all kinds of things. Which still amounts to nothing. I have tried to catch some shows. I started watching The Serpent Queen. And,
okay.
Yeah, because I love What's Her Face. And it's, her name is escaping me right now, but I absolutely adore her. Sorry. I remember
she's
when
cool.
I watched, she's so great. I watched Minority Report, you know, when it came out, and I was like, and I called my friend and I said, yo, the one of the triplets, the bald girl, she's the bomb. And I literally been in love with her ever since. I remember saying it just like that. I was like, the girl on the bed. And,
yes.
and then, you know, my friend's like, oh my God, she's so good. Yeah, and I literally watch everything. Just if she's in it, I'm like, what? I get so excited. So, of course, I'm going to watch that. So I watched a couple of episodes of that. And I haven't made time to watch The Great. And I love that show. The Great is, it's just so much fun. But I have not made time to catch season 3. So I need to work on that. But you know what I do with my free time? Like if I need noise in the background, or if I am, you know, maybe most of the time, if I'm not feeling well, I turn off all media because I can't handle it. But, you know, Inuyasha's on in the background. And so, or if it's not, and then I'm literally, I know I do this every week. I know I do this every time we record or we talk about this, but like, because I have this show just running, it's just on and I'm watching it. And first of all, Netflix, you guys are a jerk, because I need you to stop. Yeah. I'm saying it right, plain out. Stop watching me watch my shows. I don't need you to say, are you still watching it? Yes, I'm fat and depressed. I am still watching it. Leave me alone.
Terrible.
Don't make me feel bad for binging. I have nothing else to do today except obviously a whole lot of things I could be doing. I could be drinking V8. I could be doing my Coursera class. But no, I'm depressed and I am literally playing Marvel Snap and Inuyasha's on in the background. But now that I've gotten that out of the way, Netflix, mind your business, let my dog watch TV. She's watching her father, okay? He's not around. She's literally being like, is that my daddy? And now that she's blind, it doesn't matter because she can't see him. So at least let her hear Ken Narita's voice. Moving on. The point is that I literally am watching this show and I'm just destructing it. Like, I'm taking it apart. I take it apart every moment I can, because analytical mind, right?
Right.
No, I mean, I'm looking at things that worked and things that didn't, like things that we just accepted because we were 20 years old and we were watching the show and we were like, oh, you know, this is the coolest thing. And we're like, oh my God, I love this, blah, blah, blah. And then just like looking at things, and I'm like, God, this is just such plot armor. And I think, like, you know, sometimes when it came to that show, I wasn't always paying attention to what was being used, what plot devices were being used. It was just like, this doesn't make any sense, because there's so many like holes that the longer the show went on, the more holes it was poking in the fabric of what it actually was. And things are just like, so there's just like these little details that I started finding. And then, and so I noticed them. And I think it's funny. I kind of want to do like those little TikTok videos where you kind of just say how this is unhinged, because there's so many unhinged moments in the show.
You should.
And I want to, once I figure out how to do that. But yeah.
Like, you should do that with, along with your cooking, because you got mad followers with the with the cooking.
With the bread.
It was a celebration. I was like, oh no.
There was
what is going on here?
And I feel bad to all my, what is it called? Twitter. People who follow me on Twitter, because they're like, oh my God, this girl bakes. And I literally have baked nothing. But, you know, depression will do that to you. And my niece keeps trying to come over. Yeah. She wants to make croissants with me, because I made, you know, croissants from scratch. I put those on Twitter to show everybody that I made croissants from scratch. And we keep like trying to hook up. And then I'm just like, I just can't, because I can't. I just can't get my body to cooperate. And, you know, now my knees don't work. So, so there's that. But that is literally what I'm doing with my free time. I am going back. I'm going through this show. I'm sitting here looking at, like, things where all of a sudden this guy literally has a sword. He's been running around for 160 some odd episodes or whatever. And then all of a sudden his sword can form a barrier. And, like, everybody can form barriers now. It's just when the stakes got too, not the stakes, but when opponents got too powerful, opponents are so powerful now that there's nothing you can do and they're going to kill you. And the only thing you can do is form a barrier. And I'm like, so you could form a barrier for how long? Because I, like, 50 episodes, you weren't forming barriers and nothing has changed with you. Your sword got a power up because it got a new power, but it didn't get a barrier. And now all of a sudden you can make a barrier. And then something that I'm going to add, but I will never use the show again as an example, but we all know that Yashahime is a terrible show and it doesn't exist. But I just have to draw this thing because this bothers me. You remember, okay, nobody remembers this, but in Yashahime, apparently, after the twins were born, these twins that Seishomaru is not their father. Okay. Yeah. That those twins that he apparently has with, you know, the girl who's five. Yeah. That.
Right.
That whole disgusting story. Yeah. So those twins are placed in the woods by themselves because, you know, that's what you do with demon kids. And Jaqen makes a barrier. And I'm like, Jaqen, have you had the ability to make barriers with the two-headed staff this whole time? Because if that was the case, what were you doing the entire show of Inuyasha every time Rin got kidnapped?
Yeah. You know, I feel that way a little bit about One Piece, watching it, because they'll be fighting someone and they'll just do a new move.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been no training. There's been no anything. And it just comes out of their pocket. And they know the move. Like, it's just, they say it. You know how, like, Goku will be like the Kamehameha, and like, because he's done it so much, he's confident when he says it. Like, I see Zoro doing this move, and he's like, you just make up a name, and he does it. And I'm like, wait, when was that a move? That was never a thing, but it's amazing, and I'm happy you did it. But I'm like, there's no flashback, there's no montage of you training and learning this move. It's just like, I'm fighting a really strong opponent, I'm gonna try this, and I have a name for it. And it's going to work. And it works. And I'm like, all right, I'm just going to go with it. The story is great. This makes no freaking sense. Right. But I'm going to go with it. So I get it. It's a weird thing, especially when it seems like it's something that saves them at the last moment. Was it Deus Ex Machina, whatever it's called? It's like it just pops up out of nowhere.
Yeah. It's like there's no reason you should be winning. Like the freaking mirror monster at the end, closer to the end of the series. And it's like, there's no way to beat the mirror monster because the mirror monster just steals all of your attacks and then just sends it back to you. So you really shouldn't be able to win. And then it's like, oh, by the way, Tessaiga all of a sudden now can form a barrier around us all. So boom, I'm going to put Tessaiga in the ground and we're good. And we're just going to sit here until we figure out what to do.
Yeah, any other characters be looking at him like, when? Like, yeah. Anywho. That's just us nerding out
a little bit.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned Marvel Snap. That was another thing. I have been playing video games as well.
Mm-hmm.
I have been busy, but I have been playing games as well. Because Street Fighter VI came out, and then Diablo, for the people who didn't get the early access, came out as well. Mm-hmm. So I've been playing Diablo 4 and Street Fighter 6 and having a great time. Summerfest was today for gaming, and they announced a lot of cool games. We saw Mortal Kombat, the new Mortal Kombat that's coming out. Mm-hmm. And it's great. Like, this year has been really great.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a lot of time to play all these games, but it's been really great. And they did do a segment with Marvel Snap that didn't make much sense to me, but they did announce a new mode that's coming. I just want to throw some gaming stuff in there because it's been a while since we talked about video games for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
But it's Marvel Snap is definitely in my rotation. I think that has replaced all of my mobile games. I feel like there's no point because I could just do Snap and it's perfect. Like, it's just... It's not a perfect game, but it's perfect in the sense of how easy it is to get in and out. And all the matches are like 3 minutes long, if that.
Yeah.
That's if someone's indecisive, you know what I mean?
Like, yeah. the few minutes you can play a few, and as long as I'm not using my data, because you know I'm poor and I only have 1 gigabyte. But if I'm, you know, a Wi-Fi, hey, I can have a decent time and not worry about that. But yeah, honestly, if I'm frustrated with Marvel Snap because, you know, everybody decided to get Wong and Gambit and Odin.
Yeah.
Like if I'm kind of like, just like, okay, there's no way I can be, or, you know, now everybody is doing the what's his name? The high evolutionary thing. So everybody wants to use.
I hate that mofo. Like,
yeah,
all of my decks now have Luke in it to make sure that I can't be like, you know, my power go down or
and
whatever.
And I don't have Luke, but, so
yeah, that's rough. I am glad that every time they do a new season, though, mm-hmm. they take some of the cards that were in the higher tier that are harder to find and they drop mm-hmm. them so that people can. Because I finally got Super Scroll not too long ago.
I have Super Scroll. I got that like a couple weeks ago. But I don't use it. When I got Super Scroll, I was like, oh, this will be fun. And then I accidentally nerfed somebody else's Super Scroll by using. Mm. So, okay. Everybody, please nerd out with us on this, okay? please go down this rabbit hole with us really quick because this is important. The day when the peak was the location of choice, I decided to have fun. Now, I don't have Mr. Negative. If I had Mr. Negative, I would have had a great time. But yeah. I don't. So I was playing the peak. I was using all, you know, like a bunch of zero cards to flip the cost to zero. And I used Cerebro.
Mm.
Cerebro. And so I used Cerebro and I used, what's his face? Cosmo. Cerebro and Cosmo screwed Super Scroll like crazy. This guy was getting all of my Super Scroll. He got everything because I a lot of times you will see me using the deck that has Iron Man and Onslaught. I love doing that combo, especially with the Nexus.
Yeah.
And I will almost always have a lot of ongoing cards. And so this guy was getting all of my stuff. He had my Blue Marvel because I think we had one less cost. You know, cost was lower and all this stuff. So he had my Quinjet. He had my Blue Marvel. He had Iron Man, Onslaught. And I said, you know what? And I threw Cosmo out there. And Cosmo completely just killed him because of I think his final move was either it was definitely an on reveal, but I think it may have been like Odin or something like that, but it completely killed his ability to do anything, and then he was just, and I ended up winning something that I was actually completely losing. I was completely gonna lose. I was like, well, I'm giving him all of the cards, and then you know, I played Cosmo and then he just lost. I was like, wait, how did he lose? Cosmo?
Yeah, that happens. That happened with me with someone who had Super Scroll who mm-hmm. also had Destruction Deck.
Yeah.
And I had Armor. And so the thing is with him, he doesn't show you that he has the ability. Like, you know how Armor, she puts that wall up.
Yeah, she puts the wall up.
Mm-hmm. You don't physically see it, but the wall is there.
Yeah.
And so he was putting cards to destroy certain cards that so he could play and nothing happened.
Yep.
And he was like, oh crap. Like I could hear it through the phone.
Yeah.
I could hear him being like, crap, I totally forgot that he took that. Yeah. And it was a walk after that.
Yeah.
It was great.
Yeah.
It was great. So yeah,
that's fun.
That is, Snap, we got to play sometime. I know you don't have all the cards. I don't have all the cards.
Right.
But we definitely got to play.
Well, yeah,
sometime.
We'll just play. And we'll what do you do at least? Twitch it.
There you go. We will definitely do that.
I still don't know how to use Twitch. I don't know how to do it.
I got you, fam. I got you. And side note, for the people who are listening, outside of our usual fans who know that we nerd out about a lot of stuff, just a note as well. We make certain comments on here. We've spoken off air about a lot of things, mm-hmm. so the comment by itself might seem odd, but we speak, folks. It's okay. It's all right. Because I know some people listening is like, wait, she's depressed? What happened? Like, is we okay? Everything's cool? It's just, if you just listen to us a little bit, it's our humor, or actually it's kind of like Black folks humor, because we make fun of a lot of stuff that we probably should make fun of, but it's kind of a healing thing.
Yeah, it's our healing.
Go to Black Twitter.
Right.
White people is not a real place. Go to Black Twitter and you'll see.
Where do I find this Black Twitter? I remember that conversation.
And what's crazy is after such and such took over Twitter, I saw that come up more often. It's wild. It's a wild, wild west out there right now.
Yeah.
Anywho, we want to talk about two main topics this week.
Mm-hmm.
One of them being Bryan Singer's new documentary. Mm-hmm. Now, it's not 100% official, I don't think.
Right.
I was looking up, because this is, you know, over the place, but Variety had the exclusive.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to Tatiana Siegel. I believe that's how you pronounce her last name.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to read the whole thing, but basically, if you aren't aware of who he is, Bryan Singer is the director of X-Men, the X-Men films. He was also recently, I want to say that was back in 2017, 2018, he got fired from Bohemian Rhapsody.
Rhapsody.
There you go. I can read, folks. He was fired. It was a big deal, and it was because of sexual assault allegations.
Right.
Allegedly, I'll say, he sexually assaulted four men when they were underage, and which just seems to be a thing with directors and actors or whatever. But anywho, he denies it, obviously,
mm-hmm.
but that didn't help, you know, him denying it. And he went on to, you know, have trouble landing other, you know, directive roles, mm-hmm. in, you know, upcoming films. And so he has been trying to make a comeback of sorts. He's going to be directing, I want to say two films that are going to be self-financed. And one of them, based on the sources that Variety has gotten, is a documentary about his struggles. Now, we're not talking about struggles in the sense of, you know, how he became a director. Like when we were talking to director Derek about Derrickson, about how he, you know, went to the theater and, you know, he had that experience and then he wanted to be. We're not talking about that. We're talking about his struggles getting hired after the sexual allegations.
Mm.
And so that is what the documentary is going to be about. A self-financed documentary about the allegations of sexual misconduct and how his career is potentially going to bounce back after that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know how that works. If you understand documentaries, if you understand, I don't know, like the idea that you can't fund your own freaking documentary about sexual assault, like who's going to think this is going to be unbiased?
Yeah.
I mean, there's always bias. Like no matter what we do, there's going to be some form of bias, but you think about it. If I was accused of something that has hurt my career and I'm trying to get back in everyone's good graces, it would behoove me,
mm-hmm.
if I had the money and I was a director, to make a film like this and to paint myself as the best person I could possibly be.
Right.
Even, I might sprinkle in a little truth here and there. You know, I did, you know, catcall someone I shouldn't have. You know what I mean? Or mm-hmm. I did have a run-in with this person and it didn't go well. But that's to kind of make it a little bit more believable. But anything about the sexual misconduct, it's like, why would anyone believe?
Yeah.
How is this a good, like your name is attached to this. Like, how is that a good idea? Are you not, this is like freaking Jonathan Majors' lawyer releasing those text messages. This is going to backfire. And I'm not saying that anybody's done anything. I want to make that clear, but
mm-hmm.
I also want to make clear that this is not a good idea.
Yeah, it doesn't look that great. I'm sorry.
But can you imagine R. Kelly? He's not R. Kelly, but can you imagine R. Kelly with a documentary? that he did? Like, nigga, if you don't go sit down.
Have all of the seats in your solitary confinement jail where you are 17,000 million miles away from children.
Yes. And again, I'm not saying that Bryan Singer had did this. Like, I remember reading about this and was like, wow, that's messed up. It kind of kept it moving. I didn't really, because he kind of went away from the limelight. Like, he was kind of gone for a while. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't really think about it at all until just recently when I read that. And yeah, I was like, man, that's extremely interesting.
I saw this and the first thing when I read it, I was just like, yeah, I'm going to go back to work. But I was just like, I can't right now. But my issue with this is I don't understand how a documentary that is self-financed is supposed to be objective. I don't understand how people are supposed to not take it with a grain of salt if they were to watch it. Like, I'm
like a bag of salt, right? Like that's,
it's a whole more ends. Like, it's just like the girl, literally the girl walking, the salt is leaking.
It's like all the girls with umbrellas, all of them.
Yeah,
yes.
Like, and I just don't see how that being in the media already right now, like, I don't see how that's supposed to help. I don't, because I don't, like, if I, this is not a third party documentary. This is not something that's objective. Right. This is you. So I don't know how documentary-ish this is going to be, you know what I mean? Like,
is he going to interview the men that, you know, cause they were like, for instance, two of the teenage boys, one was 14, the other was 17. Mm-hmm. They filed a civil lawsuit claiming that they were ordered to strip naked for a scene.
Right.
While two other young actors made similar allegations in separate civil suits. So they were, you know what I mean? Like, it was, is he going to go and be like, because, you know, like documentaries, like when they did the R. Kelly one, right? They went and they talked to the victims and they're like, when did this happen? How did this happen? Can you explain this, et cetera, et cetera, to kind of get their side of the story. Is he going to do that? And if he does, is he going to air it all? Because they're not going back. It's not like they made us, at least I haven't seen anywhere online, they didn't make a statement saying that they were wrong or they, you know, they thought one way, but it actually wasn't that.
All we know is that it was settled.
Right. So, and even with that, I don't believe you can talk about it legally. Like, so how is he, you know what I mean? He can't interview them. He can't really talk about the settlement. He can't really, none of the family members are going to want to do it. I don't think so.
Yeah.
And so all the things he would have is just the news media surrounding it. And that is going to look bad too, because you're going to, are you going to paint the media as the big bad guys who made you lose your, you're, you know what I'm saying? Because we wrote about what you did, or allegedly did. Allegedly. Right, allegedly. I don't know if he did it.
Right.
Right? But like, is that your plan? Like, none of that seems feasible. Like, none of that seems like a good idea.
Yeah.
And he's paying a lot of money. He's paying a lot of money to do this.
How much is it, do you know, for this one?
I want to say, well, yes, two different films, but I think, it's supposed to be $10 million. $10 million, and granted, that's small in film money, but a lot of money to me. Like, I don't got, like, I don't got $1 million. So,
it doesn't. I don't know. I don't think that that's a good idea. It doesn't make sense to me. I just feel like it's a, I don't know the word, but it's a contraindication of what.
Conflict of interest.
It's a conflict of interest. Yeah. Like, it feels like, I mean, I do understand, like, okay, if you have a story that you want, if you want the truth out there, you're going to do this, blah, 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 blah. You're going to be like, okay, this is what I'm going to go do. And I'm going to tell everybody through my eyes and through my this, that, and the other, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
But I don't necessarily, I mean, I guess yeah, I guess that is what a documentary is, but I can't.
It doesn't make sense. I mean, I think the closest thing I could think of that could work will be a tell-all book. Yeah. Because people do that. Like, they do a tell-all happened. Book and they, right, they it's their side of the story.
Well, was the camera crew and then following that, around during that time?
Exactly. Yeah. And it's not the same in the sense of, because a documentary is supposed to be centered. So like the story is here and then we gravitate around that with all the different people. And so you get a fuller view of what happened. You interview all sides.
Yeah.
With a tell-all book, it's like, it's just me. You know what it is before you buy it. I'm the only one talking.
Yeah.
And it's from my perspective. Yeah. So then that makes a little bit more sense.
Yeah.
But a documentary, that's wild. And it might be genius in the fact that people will watch it. People will definitely watch it.
People watch anything, right?
Right, I mean, just except, to see what happens.
Know, except China and Korea with The Little Mermaid.
Right. See, we're not even going to see. I think it's hilarious, the people who are hating on Little Mermaid and for the reasons they were hating and come to find out that she is killing the role, like making them all look dumb in the face. Like, I am ecstatic about that. And I haven't even watched the movie yet. But I know, and what I will say is that it's dope. Not even, because I wasn't, like, the Little Mermaid, I wasn't a big fan of the original. Mm. And we spoke about that. Mm. But I took my daughter shopping not too long ago. They didn't even know about the film. They saw the toys and was like, oh, that's the Little Mermaid. But she has brown skin. And they were like, it was huge the way they erupted. Like, oh my God, she's black, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And like, they were like, this is amazing. And I was like, you know what? Makes sense. It's, you know, when we talk about representation, like, there aren't many Disney princesses that are black or brown even. Mm-hmm. And the one that we had was a frog majority of the film. So the fact that we're getting, there's facts, it's bad. I'm not a fan of that movie.
She's a frog,
You know what I'm saying? And like the fact that she could be, they could see them and it's like, oh, this is my Ariel. That's dope. That's dope. I'm not going to get into it because that's a whole nother, that's an episode. When we do watch it, I do want to talk about it whenever it comes to Disney Plus or whenever we get a chance to watch it.
Yeah.
I'm definitely going to talk about it because, but I don't know. People are interesting. I think that it's going to sell. It potentially going to sell because everyone wants the tea.
Yes.
Especially if he's going to go up and be like, I didn't do this. Here's the proof.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was never there and blah, blah. And he has some type of document. Like, people are going to want to know how much it makes. Mm-hmm. You know, I can see him selling it to like, you know, like Netflix.
Netflix loves
the scams. They do.
They do love the documentaries. But
I don't know if they would do it from his point of view, though.
Yeah.
I think they would try. They would want to do it from someone else's, like
something objective,
a neutral party
type
thing. But I could see it. I could see it being sold there. I could definitely see it. And I don't know if he's directing. Let me say that. He is footing the bill. I don't know if he's directing. It's still bad. But I don't know if he's actually directing himself. Yeah. So I'll throw that out there.
Yeah. And that media thing you said makes sense, though. If he wanted to, like, come for the media and talk about how the media storm, because that's kind of what a lot of people who are on it basically kind of like the stories that are surrounding some of the men who've been accused right now.
Right.
That's kind of where people are going. They're like, the media is just going off the rails with stuff. And that's what happens. And because, you know, there are a lot of the people who are like writing for Jonathan Majors right now who are saying that they're like, yo, there's nothing there, you know, blah, 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 the media went, they took this little bit of information and went, da, 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 da. And I'm like,
fam, there's always going to be sensationalism.
Might be doing that. Yeah. Sensationalism.
Right. You know what I mean? There's always going to be sensationalism, but there's also like reporting on what it is that's come out. Mm-hmm. So if I say, you can't say that I'm being sensational if I say he was accused of A, B, and C.
Right.
That's not what it is. You know what I'm saying? Or speculating on whether or not he'll be with Marvel after this.
Right.
That's not, the media isn't doing anything. You and whoever called 911, whoever did whatever, that's who's done it. Mm-hmm. We are just reporting on it. That's not, it's not the same thing. But yeah, people do that. Fake news. You know, they're blowing things out of proportion. They're trying to cancel people. A lot of it is just justice or the repercussions of your actions.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it's, that's all it is. So I hope he doesn't take that angle because it's not going to, I mean, it will work for a certain demographic.
Right. It'll work for certain people. Yeah.
But it won't work, you know, universally.
General population. It won't. Yeah.
Right.
That's
not enough
for
him to get hired again. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So yeah, the next thing we wanted to talk about was the remake of White Man Can't Jump. And I you know,
I feel like one thing I can say is cast.
Look, they're lucky I'm not talking about a House Party remake. This is at least better than that. This is at least better than that. That was such a bad film. I didn't even want to recap it. That it was so bad. But I think that I'm disappointed White Man Can't Jump. We didn't think it was going to be that great to begin with. We spoke about it way back when Woody Harrelson talked about it. But at the same time, we're like, you know, we still want to see it. You know, it's coming out. You know what I'm saying? It's on Hulu.
Yeah. Yeah. You know.
And what's interesting though is that it had potential. I didn't think it would. It had potential to be something decent because they were taking a different approach. They just kept going back to, so there was two things I had issue with. They were going back to the original film and they had nods to the original film, which I didn't think they needed.
No.
I think that just making your own. And it was something that seemed to be stressed early on because they make mention of it where they're like, you know, the main character, Jack Harlow's character, Jeremy, talks about how this whole stigma of white men not being able to play basketball isn't a thing anymore. Like, why are we even doing this? It's like, oh, okay. So you acknowledge the fact that this is the elephant in the room. We've done this already. Blah, 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 blah. Plus it's, you know, this documented that we have great white, you know, basketball players for a long time now. That being said, I'm like this. Okay. And then we have the backstory of the black character, Kamal, who is dealing with, you know, he was on his way to the NBA or seemingly on his way to the NBA. He was going to go to college to play ball. He got, you know, got first pick and all this other stuff, but got, something happened. I'm not going to spoil it, but something happened. And he doesn't.
No spoilers.
Right. He doesn't, things don't go. I should spoil it. Cause not
we
that
should,
good.
Because you, I mean,
yeah,
to get our full emotions out.
Right. But yeah, things don't go his way. And so he's angry with everyone about it. He's just, you know, just going through life angry. Right. And there's some really cool things that they could have done there story-wise, but they lean on the stuff that came before, and that doesn't do it any justice because the other movie is better. And they also like fuse so many racial jokes and so many like just race
right
to the point where like I'm gonna be honest, right? I have no problem with Kenya Barris. I think that he is talented enough. And I'm happy that he is getting, you know, all these shows, whether it be from Netflix, you know, films or whatever, Netflix and all shows, Blackish and all this good stuff. The only show that I can't speak negatively on is Blackish because I haven't watched a lot of it. I watched a few episodes and the ones I did watch were great. That being said, the other things that I've seen from Kenya Barris that has to do with race are poor to me. I don't think it's a subject he should cover. I just don't. Because I don't think he has, either he doesn't have the aptitude to convey the messages he's trying to convey, or he wants everything to be funny. And so his humor derails whatever messages he has that he wants to convey. And his humor isn't funny enough to carry that for an entire however long this movie was. Like, the extra side characters, like the ones played by like Vic Mensa or whatever, like good comedy with those characters because they're just, it's Vic Mensa being himself for the most part.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But a lot of the stuff with Jack Harlow and I can't pronounce the other main lead's name. So I don't want to screw it up.
I don't remember his name.
Last name Walls. I don't want to like screw up his name. Mm-hmm. But like their dynamic, they can act well. And like shout out to Jack Harlow. I didn't think he was horrible. This being his first like real acting role. Mm-hmm. But in terms of their playing off of each other, it's very awkward and just like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. I just don't think he's good at it. I think he has something he wants to say about it. Mm-hmm. And it could be, I could be wrong. It could be one of those things where like I'm making light of this because I think the concept of race is silly. Mm-hmm. And if that's the case, he's almost genius. He doesn't succeed in this, but he's almost genius because I don't believe in that mm-hmm. in a sense that this idea that race isn't a thing, it's a made up thing. Well, yeah, but we are still defined and still treated differently based on our race. So
yeah,
it's not us just fabricating this out of thin air. You dig? But if that's what he's trying to say, all right, I can kind of see that a little bit more, but you're still not successful.
Yeah.
Case in point, like there's a scene where, you know, Jack Harlow's character, they're playing basketball and like they get into it with these other guys. Now, if you've seen the original, you know what happens. They get in a little shoving match. One person gets hit and the guy's like, I'm going to go to my trunk, get my car. And the people around are like, hey, he really has a gun. You might want to leave. And they get them moving. Similar scene happens. But instead, someone's like, oh, he has a flamethrower. Now, I'm dumb because I'm thinking a flamethrower is like new slang. You know, I'm 39. I'm thinking, I thought I was hip. I've heard a lot of different phrases or in slang for weapons that were, you know, there were pistols or whatever. Right. You know, 50 Cent, get the strap. Like, so I'm thinking, oh, he has like a Draco or something. Like he has something like that will set someone's clothes on fire because they got hit so much. No, he has a literal flamethrower.
It was literal.
And it's hilarious in the scene, but it's like, it's also, it's also indicative of the movie in and of itself because it's just random as hell. Yeah. So like you will have something that potentially is meaningful and then something that's really, really random side by side.
Yes.
The juxtaposition does not work.
No.
And so whatever you have, whatever you're trying to say just falls flat because I'm not focused on that anymore. I'm focused on what the hell just happened. He had a flamethrower.
There's a flamethrower.
You know what I'm saying? Like there's just, you know, and the same thing with the movie that he did with Eddie Murphy, you know, and the interracial dating and like the stuff that he's doing, it just doesn't click. It just does not work. Mm-hmm. I think you just stay away from, just be funny. Just stay away from race though. Just stop it, fam.
Which is like his whole thing though. He is
right, that's his whole shtick.
That's his whole shtick. And I regret, okay. So, and you know, like I love Black-ish. Black-ish is funny. And
right.
The one thing about Kenya Garrison, he talks about, he makes fun of himself in Black AF for this reason.
Right.
Is that he knows that he really hit like gold with Black-ish. And it is palatable. It's palatable for everybody. And, you know, it's network and it made how many seasons, you know, and it really worked. And then it spun off with three spinoffs or whatever. I mean, you got Grown-ish, you had Mixed-ish and did they have another one, but those are all probably very successful. And, you know, Grown-ish did its four or five seasons, managed to get through the pandemic. And now Grown-ish is rebooted because the son from Black-ish is now in college.
Right.
You know, the son who didn't want to go to college is now in college. So the show continues. And so anyway, but he knows he's a one trick pony. He has discussed this. He plays on it. And obviously that the show is based in race and is also based off of his own, you know, his real life. And mind you, those are extremely successful and hilarious in and of themselves. We differ opinions on Black AF because I cried the whole way through. I was like, this is ridiculous. I was just like, he went over the top on some of that stuff. And I was like, and like my sister watched it, she thought it was hilarious. And my niece, we all liked it because we're just like, I cannot believe some of the stuff that he's doing in the show is because to me, it was just effing ridiculous. But when we go to the movies, like when we go to Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, what's the movie called? What was it called again?
It's basically that. It's the remake of that. But
Guess Who's Coming to Dinner. Hold up. But
It is.
Literally forgot.
No, that's not it. Where's the movie? You People.
Yeah. You People. I just didn't understand why that movie came out at all. I watched it. It was whatever. And I just feel like it would, to me, it feels like a TV movie. It felt like something that would have come on a random night when all of our regular seasonal shows are off season. And we ended up having to watch something came on and it was
TV very movie. UPN-ish.
Yeah. And it would come on once and it would probably never come on. It would maybe come on again 5 years later at 2 o'clock in the morning and somebody would be like, oh my God, this movie came out. I never caught it back like that. And then not many people would talk about it and then it just go off.
Right.
But it got a lot of publicity. And I think that's why there was, so much talk about people kept talking about it because it was just like, there were so many parts of that movie that were let down. And again, I don't 100% blame Ken Nieberis for all of it because he is not the only writer on it. He's not the only,
that's true.
There are other people involved in this and they all liked it. With that movie, that was the first movie he directed, but Jonah Hill wrote a lot of that movie or something.
Yeah,
anyway, the point is that his name is on it. And so when your name keeps getting on stuff that's like questionable, you're like, oh. So going back to White Man Can't Jump. And again, I mean, Ron Shelton is on this movie as well. So Ron Shelton obviously is the original creator of White Man Can't Jump. So, I mean, I'm assuming it has his stamp of approval. or his money. As for writers, it's Kenya and then another person, I think it's Doug Hill. But so again, I don't know who's in charge of what because I don't necessarily understand all of that. That's literally above my pay grade. But this movie was a disappointment. Again, I watched it and maybe it was more disappointing because I wasn't really feeling well the day I watched it. And I was kind of like,
if you're healthy, if you were great, it would still, yep. Mm-hmm. You would be no different.
Because I have the issues, the same issues that you said where it's like, if you guys wanted to make a new movie, then make a new movie with the same title to bring back fans and to make new fans with these new popular individuals. Fine. Right. But then there was no real point in bringing back making these callbacks to the old film because it seemed like you just had markers that you needed to meet. Like, well, this happened in the old film, so we're going to make something that's similar. But it didn't make sense for the story that you created. Because this story that was created, I just don't even feel like some of this stuff was necessary. Some of these characters weren't necessary. I love Teyana Taylor. I really do. In fact, I kind of love anything Teyana Taylor is in because she killed Coming to America 2. I was just like, this is amazing.
Yeah.
Like, she's just effing awesome. She's got great energy. So I'm not mad at her. I'm not even mad at her role. It tracked. It just worked. It really did work. Right. And I felt like she was the one staple or like solid connection to movie one that made the most sense.
Right.
But the other girl, Jack Harlow's girlfriend, I'm like, I don't know if they wanted to make your role similar to the role that Rosie Perez made, but it didn't make any sense. She was so useless.
Tatiana.
I just didn't understand her purpose because it doesn't seem like the stakes were actually high at all when it came to her. I mean, the stakes were so high in the original movie. Like, Rosie Perez's character was a genius and was sitting there saying, I have all kinds of ridiculous knowledge in my head. And one day, Jeopardy's going to call. And when they call, they're going to call me. And then what happens? Jeopardy does call her, okay? Like, she really had they had the struggle life going for them. They were both on the struggle bus. They were struggling. But she was like, it's going to happen for me. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. And it happens. Now he's doing his own little hustle struggle. Yeah, I'm going to play ball and I'm going to hustle. And I'm going to do these things because, this is my identity and this is who I want to be, X, Y, Z, blah, 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 blah. But she's like, stop losing my money.
Exactly. It was her money. It wasn't his money. It was her money.
Stop.
And he takes the money.
Yeah.
He takes the money.
And disrespects her.
Right. And it's whereas this was more so like she cared about him in terms of hurting himself, But it was also like, I'm kind of taking care of you with the things that I'm doing. But her big break was like, none of the money he's putting up is your money. And not to say that she shouldn't be upset, because he's not telling the truth.
No, she definitely should.
But the idea that if it's that big enough a deal for you to move, or to for y'all to, you know, be at a state of separation, then the way it ends, and I'm not going to spoil it, but the way things are resolved does not, because then it's not that, it wasn't that big of a deal.
In the first place.
And you know what? And all that doesn't even matter in the grand scheme of things, because if everything else before and after that was actually decent, we wouldn't even care. We'd be like, whatever, this is a happy ending or whatever that isn't deserved, but everything else was great. Not a problem. But no. A lot of it just didn't work. And like you were saying, at least, even going back to the House Party movie, at least they tried something different.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there were some nods in terms of like a dance scene, but for the most part, it was like, we're doing something different. And so it just, that different was really bad. Whereas this was like, we're towing the ropes, and there's some things here that can kind of go left or right. And we have a decent story on paper, but how we deliver this story, you know, it goes from a story that could be, you know, decent with a couple of laughs. We've seen it before, but you know, whatever. Like you said, TV film versus what it turned out to be was a film that didn't quite reach the heights that it was aiming for, and it did not reach any of the heights that the original film had. All you have is a comparison, and the comparison's bad, like really bad.
I have a lot of ununderstandings of the premise. I'm watching this movie, and you know, the jokes are starting, and the white boy this and this that, and I was just like, are y'all still doing this? I don't know. Right. I don't go to the court. Like, I don't go to the gym. Like, I used to go to court when I was a kid. I used to hang around the basketball court, high school, even in my 30s at the gym, you know, like, but I'm like, are y'all, is this actually a thing? Do y'all still do this? Like, do people, like, do you like literally still do this? And so again, I think that for something that's apparently coming in the year 2023, I was just a little, I just didn't know that this was still funny. I didn't know that, because it's funny if this is still your reality.
If
this is still a reality that a lot of people are living and experiencing, then they're going to be the ones driving the, you know, they're going to be the ones setting the bar, saying that this is funny. Oh, you don't get it because this doesn't apply to you. Okay, fine. I don't find myself to be very hip in popular culture anymore. I'm a kind of a hermit, but I'm looking at it and I'm just saying, I don't know where this is happening. Again, I don't want to discredit that race. Like, just like we were saying earlier, race stuff still happens. But I think that I was just like, is it like this?
I don't think so. Like, even just, like I said, Black Twitter. But like, the things that we see that are comical aren't delivered in this fashion. It doesn't, it's almost like having fat jokes in 2023. Right. They don't hit the way they did, because they're not, majority of the people who are, you would be targeting are younger, and they don't see it that way. They don't think that's funny. And it's so not. If you're making a new White Man Can't Jump in 2023 and your jokes are like 90s, like, you know what I mean? And they weren't even that good. I think the banter between a couple of characters were funny, because I think they have natural chemistry and just, you know, being Black folks, that's, you know, or Tiana Taylor, when she would talk to Jamal and like, he would tell her about, you know, the plants he ate or something or whatever. And she's like, okay. Like that's, I feel like that's how she would respond in real life. You feel me? And so,
she's only playing but like,
I, yeah, but like some of the jokes were like, even the way we would position a joke about a Black man dating a white woman is different than how they would do it there. And mind you, we're not a monolith.
No.
We all have different, you know, ideas of what's funny. We all have different ideas of even like just black people from LA, New York, whatever the case mm-hmm. may be. Things are a little different. But
yeah.
Universally watching it, it didn't seem like something we would say. It didn't seem like it came off naturally because of the actors, but it didn't come out naturally as in you would actually, would you joke like that? Probably right. not.
Like I,
you wouldn't care to joke.
I feel like they tried to say, okay, well, Jack Harlow's character would be this bold because he secretly was able to back it up. Like his character really, really was talented and he could back it up X, Y, and Z. But I'm just like, but why would you be this aggro? Like, I just feel like nothing made any sense to me. Like just the world that was happening while I was watching doesn't make any sense to me. But if I watch the 90s version, everything makes sense.
Exactly.
It just all makes sense at that time. Like, can we just sit here and talk about how basketball was integrated? Like how this was a sport that was played by white people and then black people were able to get on teams and this, that, and the other. And then there's a shift as time goes on about black people being all kinds of extra on the court and dunking and when white men weren't right. doing that. The whole premise, this whole idea that built that story was based yeah. off of observational truths.
Right.
This story with the same title makes no sense.
Exactly. The observation isn't there. It's yeah. not like just looking around. It's not, it's similar in a sense of we still dominate the sport, but not similar in a sense of, is this relevant today? Like, does anyone like, and that's what Jack says at the beginning where he's like, is that still a thing? Like, are we still doing this joke all these right. years later? And the answer is no, but you did the joke.
But you did the joke. Like, yeah. Like
you did a whole hour and some change of jokes like this.
yeah. And I'm like,
well, you just addressed it.
It could have been squashed in the first 5 minutes and we could have actually right. had a different movie. We could have had a different movie.
Exactly. Like, get this out the way real quick. We ain't doing this. Boom.
Yeah.
And then
boom.
The whole nother movie. And you went backwards. That's not what we were doing. Okay. Man.
Useless characters, useless dialogue to push what?
And I think I don't even know what the message is.
I don't either. Because in the original one, there were stakes. And right. I'm just like, there was stakes. There was identity. There was, if we're going to sit here and say, okay, you know, a bunch of black people are clowning a white dude about playing basketball. Oh, you can't hang. You can't this. You can't. You literally can't hang because you don't dunk.
Right.
Okay. All that kind of stuff. And then bonding and, you know, being useful to each other or whatnot and creating a relationship and welcoming right. somebody into your home, X, Y, and Z, there's something being created here, a cultural shift and welcoming somebody else into a culture that they're not part of. And then that individual experiencing things that are not necessarily singular to that culture, but what happens to Woody Harrelson in the first movie, black people would look at him and be like, well, now you one of us. Okay, right. if you're going to lose your girl and you're going to lose your place or all that kind of stuff, you're going to lose all those things. The black man's going to be like, well, now you black. That,
right.
That struggle is not singular to black people, but black people will look at that and be like, yo, we've been struggling and now you are experiencing that. Well, we're homies now.
And they did. There was a point where he's like, mm-hmm. I didn't force you to do any of these things. And it's mm-hmm. you know, the result is on you.
Yeah.
But I'm a rock with you though, because-
right.
I get it. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And while there are some moments of that here, like when he goes to the cookout, it's spoiled by the fact that he brought Hennessy. It's like, that's still, we're still doing this. Like, it's like,
but did he bring hip? Did he bring the hypnotic right. though?
Right. That's just how Wait, far back are we going?
Here.
Right. How far back are we going? If he said anything 40-ish, it would have been a problem. If he was talking about his car or whatever, I'd have been like, I'm turning this off right now. Like, no, not at all. You're not doing this. Mm-mm. Nope. But I'm saying it's like, and then like, you know, all the black people are looking at him like, oh, you're bold. And it's like, this is, yeah. for now, this is very bold. Where it would just like awkward. We get it. Back in the day, you didn't know.
Yeah.
We will learn you though.
Yeah.
Versus now it's like, oh, you should know. You have Google. You've been around black people. You have a black girlfriend. You know what I mean? Like, what are you doing with your life?
What are you doing?
And she let him bring it.
None of it made sense. It was just a whole lot of everything and the kitchen sink. Just throw it all in, guys, and then we'll edit stuff down. I was just really lost as to why things were happening and why people existed and why people were there. I think it would have just, you know, like, I'm sorry. Nothing is better than Rosie skating away, literally.
Facts. Rosie
away
did an amazing job. And you know, it wouldn't have been so bad if everything was wild and crazy, like with the flamethrower, right? Mm-hmm. Everything's over the top. I actually would have preferred that because then I wouldn't be. But the fact that you're trying to deliver some, or at least seemingly trying to deliver some sort of message here.
Yeah.
Then I have to look for it.
Yeah.
You know, if Get Out was just a movie about people abducting black folks, mm-hmm. then it's like, all right, that's all it is, whatever. But the fact that there's race involved to the extent mm-hmm. that it is, it's like, okay, you need to do it well then. This is what you set out to do.
Yeah.
And you want to say something. You are trying to say something in several levels, mm-hmm. whether it be the angry black man mm-hmm. or the idea that you didn't live up to your father's expectations or the idea that you are being taken care of by your significant other or, mm-hmm. you know, there's all these different attributes and aspects culturally that you're making reference to mm-hmm. that you then do nothing with.
Nothing. Like, at all.
You feel me? It's like, if you weren't trying to do that, why? Why put it in?
Why?
You know what I'm saying? And I'm not saying like, because you have to, you know, you have to form a universe for your characters.
Yeah.
But it could have just been silly. It could have just been a silly film.
Mm-hmm.
Had nothing to do with race.
It could have been.
Right. You know, it could have. We ain't trying to say nothing prathetic or whatever here. We were just trying to, you know, have fun.
It could have been, you know, hey, I mean? Two guys play basketball. Like, it could have been called Two Guys in a Basketball. Like, it could have been anything. It didn't need to be called White Man Can't Jump. It didn't need to have any of these aspects. None of it. In fact, if White Man Can't Jump wasn't in the title, I would have watched this and been like, damn, he bold. Just like I would have watched this with more interest and been like, what's happening here? Like, what's going on? Instead of me knowing what the title is and knowing, okay, well, and then just kind of being turned off by the kind of ridiculous of the jokes. And like I was saying to you off camera, like, okay, there's four race jokes in 4 minutes. And it would have been funny if they only did one of the jokes. Like, and no particular joke. It's just one of them because all four were too many. Like,
right.
I don't know what you guys are trying to say, except let's throw in a bunch of black and white jokes. Y'all, jokes doesn't do anything. That's not funny anymore. It's just not.
Yeah. And it wasn't even, I mean, because going backwards, it was funnier then because there was trying to say something. This is a thing that we're trying to show you the differences here in a way mm-hmm. that highlights certain aspects of our life. And so we can make a joke about ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
We understand. Whereas a person who's outside of our culture probably wouldn't. Mm-hmm. But it's delivered in a way that, oh, this is funny. I see what you're trying to do here, what you're trying to say. It's wrapped up in whatever's happening that year, like 1990, whatever the case may be. Whereas this is a joke that was told years ago that wasn't all that funny then, has no bearing on what's happening now, isn't relatable now, and doesn't move the story. Because it's throwaway. Just drop this joke in there. This joke too. Doesn't really matter. Just throw that in there. Whatever. Yeah. So that is our non-spoiler review of White Man Can't Jump. We could do a spoiler review, but then, you know, you wouldn't have to suffer through it. And we want you to go ahead and suffer through it so that you can understand, because if I tell you what's happening, you're going to go see it and you're going to be like, oh, it's not that bad.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true.
It is. It is.
It is.
It is that bad. And like I said, the only thing I can say is that it has potential. It had the potential to be better than what it was.
It did.
And it's better than The House Party. That film you do not need to see. Don't.
I haven't even seen it.
Go see the original again. The original again. See two or three. All of them are better than this one. Trust me.
House Party 4.
Don't. But yeah, that is our show for today. Yeah. Thanks for hanging out with us. If you're listening on YouTube, feel free to subscribe and hit that notification bell so you're up on all the new content that's coming out from us. If you're listening on Amazon or iTunes or any of those type of places, add us to your RSS feed, subscribe. Again, so you're up on all the new content. If you're over at Audio Boom, which is where our main headquarters is, it has all the links to all those different places as well. But you can just subscribe there and then you can just click on whatever app you want to listen to, because I know like Spotify sometimes with all the podcasts that they have, it can be hard to find. But if you go to Audio Boom, it's just right there. It takes you right to Spotify. But yeah, we will be back with more stuff in the following weeks. There's a lot of stuff coming out. I'm going to take some family members to see the new Spider-Man film, going to see the new Transformers film. So there's a lot of stuff to talk about. Also, video games. I'm playing a lot of video games. That too. So stick with us. Yes. We have a lot of stuff to talk about.
Yeah. We will definitely. We'll definitely be bringing you guys some interesting content on the gaming front that is including Marvel Snap when me and Kenny finally do our battle with each other. But yeah, pretty much all I want to say is everybody, the East Coast is on fire, so please wear your masks. And... And for anybody who's not on the East Coast and you're on the West Coast, we know that you guys are used to these types of fires and stuff, but this is not the Disaster Olympics. So let's just,
please stop.
Pray for everybody. Like this, it's not, I don't, this discourse online, it's just kind of crazy. Like, people, just please wear your mask. Like, get yourself some N95 masks and wear them because it is bad outside. I'm sorry. I went outside this morning and I breathed in cinder. It's like smoking a Newport out there. So just take care of yourselves, people. It's not safe.
Yeah.
And COVID's still a thing. So wash your hands, wash your faces, wash your butts. And we'll see you next time. Bye.